40 of them. So how's this even possible when we're sinners? How's it possible to live these character traits? Anybody? When we're wicked sinners. How's it possible? Surely somebody knows how it's possible. Is it possible to live for Jesus? Yes. How? Okay, faith, that's one thing. What about the Holy Spirit? Is that part of it? Who indwells us? Amen. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, and so forth. So God teaches us that He moved in when we got saved. Amen. And now He gives us the power and the ability to live the way He wants us to live. And that's what this study is all about. How does He want us to live? What are these traits that we're supposed to emulate that Jesus had? And is it possible? So let's look at some scriptures to see if it's possible. Mr. Scott's going to read John 15, verses 1 to 5 as an introduction. Then we'll pray and dive in together. So John 15, verses 1 to 5. Amen. What a beautiful truth. Without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for wisdom as we study your word together and look at these traits over the next few months. And I pray, Lord, that it would be our desire to be like Christ. And Lord, to emulate these things in our own walk. And Lord, to lean on the Holy Spirit, that it may be real. So guide us in your truth today. Use the word in our hearts to grow us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So obviously the Holy Spirit is part of it. Amen. Without me, you can do nothing. The Bible teaches that the fruit of the Spirit is something that the Spirit generates. It's not something that we generate on our own strength. It's something that God provides. And if we will yield to Him, He makes it real. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of us or the fruit of man. So God wants us to be a fruitful Christian. Amen? It's God's command that we be a fruitful Christian. Down to verse 8 of the same passage. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So this is one of the desires God has for His disciples, Christ followers, is that we bear much fruit. And so God's desire is that we be a fruitful Christian, and we're going to look at 40 traits. I don't know if traits is the best word, but it's the only word I could come up with. Maybe virtues will be another word that God wants us to emulate from our Savior. I didn't know how to do it other than alphabetically. Characteristics, that's a good one. Character characteristics, that doesn't work. But anyway, boldness. Let's start there. We're going to do them alphabetically. Boldness. Oh, this is unplugged. Better fix that. So, does God want us to be bold? Anybody? Can anybody think of a verse that teaches we should be bold as Christians? While I plug this back in. Anybody? One verse? Well, let's look at some verses then. If the Bible teaches it's a trait that we're to have, then obviously it's going to be clear. So where do we begin? Proverbs 28:1, maybe? Let's turn there. And Howard, if you could read that for us. There's other words we could put with this one. Words like courageous, words like fearless, but we'll call it boldness today. Yes, brother, go ahead.
The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as lions.
Bold as a lion. Are we the righteous? We're not righteous in behavior, but are we righteous? Yes, in Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been given the righteousness of Christ, and we are the righteous. When God was sending Israel finally into the promised land after the 40 years of wandering there in Joshua chapter 1, what did he say of to Joshua there in chapter 1, verse 9? Philip, can you read that for us? Joshua 1, 9. He's about to go into the promised land. He's taken over from Moses, whom God took to heaven. He's about to lead God's people into the promised land, which, as we know from our Sunday night study, represents the victorious Christian life. And listen to what he says to Joshua. Strong courage. Amen. Where's Joshua supposed to get this courage? Is he just supposed to drum it up? No. He gets the courage from God. Because God just said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to guide you. We can take courage in that because as God's children, he's promised the same to us, that he will protect and guide and watch over us. Amen. And so all through the scriptures, we're told, don't be dismayed, be courageous. And how many times are we told not to fear? Fear not. Be not afraid. Over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, don't be afraid. Let's look at some examples. John 14, 27. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us. Jesus here talking to his disciples in the upper room before Gethsemane in John 14.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Look at that last word. Neither let it be afraid. Now the disciples didn't understand that at that point, did they? Because what happened when the soldiers came to the garden and took Christ? Were the disciples afraid? Yeah, they fled. They disappeared, didn't they? All of them disappeared into the woodwork and basically hid until after the resurrection when Jesus showed up and said, it's time to get to work, guys. Why are you hiding out? Be not afraid. We're told this Old Testament, New Testament, we're not to fear because why? God is on our side. Amen. All through the scriptures we're told this. The Apostle Paul, if you go to 2 Timothy 1, made this very clear even in his own walk. Cash, could you read that for us, verses 7 and 8 of 1 Timothy 1, or 2 Timothy 1?
For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
So if we have the spirit of fear, it didn't come from God. That's what Paul said there, isn't it? He did not give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony. Be not ashamed of the gospel because God has not given us the spirit of fear. We're instead to be bold. And again, all through the Old Testament, I'll just read you a couple of verses. Be strong and of good courage. We just read that in Joshua 1:9. Wait on the Lord, Psalm 27:14. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Hope in the Lord, Psalm 31:24. Let's look at Psalm 118:6. Nathan, if you could read that for us. Psalm 118:6. What can man do unto me? What's the worst thing that man can do to us? Send us to heaven. Amen? That's the worst thing that man can do to us, is send us to heaven. And if he does, it was God's will. Because God's promised to protect us. So he said, The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? So our courage isn't something that we just have to drum up. It comes from trusting God. And all through the scriptures, when God says, fear not, he then tells us, trust me. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to guide you. All through the scriptures, when he says, don't fear, he gives us a reason not to fear. Because of him. He is the all-powerful God. Amen. Let's look at another one, Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Brad, if you could read that for us. There it is again. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He said there might be times when some fear creeps up, what time I am afraid. What's the solution? I will trust in thee. Amen? Fear and trust don't cohabitate, is what the Bible teaches over and over again. You can't say you're trusting God while you're afraid. Because if you're afraid, you're not trusting God. If you are trusting God, you're not afraid. Because that's what the Bible says. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Why? Because I'm trusting God. The Bible teaches in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And that's so true, isn't it? Fear cripples. Fear stops man from doing what he should. I'm talking Christians. Stops us from doing what we should, which is to tell others about our Savior, to stand for the truth, to contend for the faith, and so forth. Fear cripples us in those areas. Even when God was calling Jeremiah in chapter 1, if you'd look there, Mr. Scott, verses 7 and 8 of Jeremiah 1, listen to what God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was initially afraid. And if you think about all that he went through, there was some things to be afraid of from a human point of view. So Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. Chapter 1 of Jeremiah, yep.
But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, but thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord.
Be not afraid. There it is again. Be not afraid of their faces. Why? For I am with thee. Deliver thee. So even Jeremiah, he was hesitant at first. He can't. I can't do this, Lord. I'm too young. And he said, be not afraid of their faces. I am with thee. He does this all through the Bible. Don't be afraid. Why? Because I am on your side. We get to the New Testament, Acts chapter 4. Let's turn there. And sure enough, the disciples, did they face persecution? Of course they did. From the Jewish leaders, especially there in the early days in Jerusalem. So let's look at some verses, some of their response. Acts 4, verse 13, Howard.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ.
These religious leaders actually marveled at the boldness of Peter and John. What's wrong with it? Why are they so bold? And they said it must be because of the influence of Jesus. Look down, if you would, read 29 and 31 of the same chapter.
And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God.
So that's what they prayed. They had been threatened. Literally, their lives had been threatened. They said, Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all bold. They didn't say, Lord, protect us. They didn't say, Lord, watch out for us. These guys are going to kill us. They said, give us boldness. That's the way to pray, isn't it? And what happened? Verse 31. They were filled with boldness. God answered their prayer immediately and gave them boldness. And what do? They began to tell everyone about Jesus Christ, and thousands of people got saved, and great things happened. They said, Lord, give us boldness. We should pray the same. Give us boldness. We get to the New further on in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Philip, if you could read that. God promises that if we will abide in Christ, look what he will do for us. 1 John 2, 28. Not be ashamed. And we're told to abide in Christ. If we abide in Christ, obviously then Christ is controlling and running our Christian lives, if you will. God says, so that when he does come, we won't be ashamed. We will have confidence. Amen? Every Christian should be confident that Jesus could come back today and we're ready. If we're afraid, we're not ready. God commands us to have boldness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't have boldness if you're not trusting the Lord. And if you are trusting the Lord, you don't have fear. Again, those two cannot cohabitate. All through the Scriptures we're told to stand. Amen. Ephesians 6, stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand, therefore, having a loins girded. We're told to stand fast. Told that over and over again. How can we do that? How can we stand when we've got the devil, when we've got the world all against us? That's easy. We have the creator of the universe on our side. Amen? So we can stand and we can go forward without fear, but with boldness, trusting the Lord. And this is a trait or a virtue that God wants every believer to have, is boldness. Boldness to speak up for Jesus, boldness to stand for the Lord. Jude in chapter 1, the only chapter of Jude, verse 3. Mr. Zeus, could you read that for us? Jude, verse 3. Jude wrote to these Christians, and look what he said to them. Jude, verse 3, yep. And then he outlines for us in the book of Jude all these things we're to stand for. Amen? But we can't contend. That word contend actually means to fight and to stand. We can't contend for the faith if we're afraid. But we're told to contend for the faith, and we're told to earnestly do it. Amen? We're told to earnestly contend for the faith. Can't do that if you're afraid. But we shouldn't be afraid because we have Jesus on our side, and we're told to be bold. We're told to go forward. We're told to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. We're told to fight for the faith. We're told to tell people about Christ. Fear is probably one of the number one things that keeps Christians from witnessing. Amen. Is being afraid to speak up. But really, when you think about it, what are they afraid of? It's just a weapon of the devil to try to keep the gospel from being spread, isn't it? Fear. What are we afraid of when we won't witness? We're just afraid that maybe they'll show some anger toward us, right? Or maybe if we're witnessing door to door, they'll slam the door in our face. But why should we be afraid of those things? We're representative of Jesus Christ. They're not angry at us. They're angry at him. And he's with us. Amen? But this is nothing new. This even happened in the time of Christ while he was in his ministry. Let's look at John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, and we'll see this is nothing new, that people are afraid to speak up. Cash, could you read that? John 12, 42, 43. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue. And in those days, that would have been a big deal if you were a Jew. So they were afraid. So they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they were afraid to speak up because of the consequences, the potential consequences. That's how fear cripples. But we shouldn't be afraid of the consequences. Like David said, what can man do unto me? What's the worst thing he can do? And we need to be like the Apostle Paul and like David. I'm not afraid. I'm going to be bold in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what he told me to do. I'm going to contend for the faith. And I'm going to tell people about Jesus like I've been commanded to do. Amen? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God wants us all to be bold in Jesus Christ. Thoughts or questions about that? Anything? So I'm assuming then that everybody is 100% bold and has never had fear then, right? We all know that's not true, don't we? This is one of the devil's number one weapons against us. Does the devil want the gospel to spread? No. He really only has two goals. One of them is to be worshipped as God, which he doesn't get a taste of that until the tribulation period. And number two, well, I guess he has three goals. Number two is to keep people from getting saved, right? If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, right? 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But his third goal is to stop Christians, to ruin their testimony. But that all ties back into the second goal. Why does he care about ruining Christians' lives or their testimony or keeping them quiet? Well, back to the second goal, to keep people from getting saved. Because if Christians won't open their mouths, then people won't hear the gospel. So, never forget that. If we're afraid and we don't speak up for Christ, we're doing the devil's bidding. Because he is the God of this world. And he does not want people to hear the gospel. So remember that next time when we're afraid to say something. Remember who's making us afraid. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Amen? It's the devil making us afraid because he doesn't want us to witness. Now, I was going to do a second one today, but I don't really have time. And that was commitment. But I think I'll stop at boldness. We can chew on that one. Thoughts or questions about boldness? Does God want us to be bold? Does he want us to be courageous? Does he want us to be fearless? Yes, absolutely. Can anybody think of a verse maybe we didn't cover today? There's plenty.
1 Corinthians 6, 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. 1 Corinthians
16, 13. Let's turn to that. That's a great verse. Stand fast. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Whose turn was it? Nathan, could you read that for us? That word quit. Anybody know what that means? It definitely does not mean to quit. All right, this is an old usage of the word quit. Does anybody know what it means in this context? Tanya? Pardon? Right, act like them. Quit ye like men. In other words, be like a man. Be like a real man. So watch ye, stand fast in the faith, be like a man, be strong. That's a good verse. Thank you, Brent. Anybody else? Thoughts or questions or maybe a verse that we didn't talk about where the Bible tells us to be bold for Jesus. Amen? Anybody? So remember that next time. Fear is not from God. Amen? All through the Bible, God says, fear not, be not afraid, be not dismayed. Old Testament, New Testament, we're not to fear. And when we do fear, it did not come from God. Because he had not given us the spirit of fear. Anyone else?